Savior. So that extended discussion about who needs the gospel is very important, because we run into people every day who fit into one of those three categories. And we can use the Word of God to show them that they need the gospel. Plus, at the end of almost three chapters of looking at who needs the gospel and seeing time and time again that every single person falls short of the glory of God, we're ready now, aren't we, for some good news. Because after all of this, we find out that we're all slime, basically, right? When it comes to, we're disgusting. We're sinful, and we can't do anything about it. But that's not the end of the story, is it? And now, finally, when we get to Romans 3:21, we get to some really exciting news. I mean, Romans 3:21 through 31 is the most exciting news ever. Okay? I'm a Cubs fan. Many of you know this, right? And I was really excited that the Cubs made it to the playoffs this year. I was really excited they beat Pittsburgh in the wild card game. I was really, really excited when they beat St. Louis. Sorry, St. Louis fans. But I was really, really excited when we beat St. Louis in the first round. Really excited when we started to play the Mets until after that first game and looked like we were just outmatched. And so now I'm a Kansas City fan. But anyway, if the Cubs had won the World Series this year, right? I mean, what would Illinois have been like for Cubs fans? It would have just been party central. Okay? It would have been like the most exciting news in over a century for Chicago and for the state of Illinois. But Romans 3:21 through 31 is even better than that. I mean, infinitely better than for me if the Cubs had won the World Series. This is that exciting. It's so exciting that I wouldn't blame you if, as we're going through this passage today, somebody just stood up and said, "Woo!" I mean, we would do this if the Cubs were winning the World Series, right? Or the Cardinals, or whoever we're going for. This is more exciting than that. This is like standing ovation to God kind of exciting. Romans 3:21 through 31. And it starts right in the very first verse. We're talking about the gospel of justification. And really for the next three chapters, Paul's going to deal with this gospel of justification. So the gospel of justification is actually another three-part sermon. And so today we're going to look at part one, how God makes sinners righteous. This subtitle for the gospel of justification sermon this morning actually serves two purposes. It tells us what the section here in Romans 3:21 to 31 is all about, but it also provides us with a working definition of the word justification. Because justification is one of those big words, it's one of those theological words that we hear a lot, but sometimes maybe we forget what it means. Justification, what does it mean? It just means God makes sinners righteous. He makes them righteous. He has to make them righteous, right? Because we've already established very clearly after almost three chapters that no one can make themselves righteous. We're hopelessly lost. None of us do what's right. None of us seek after God. All of us have turned away. And Paul made it clear that by the works of the law, no one will be justified. No one can make themselves righteous. God has to make us righteous. So how in the world can God make sinners righteous? Well, after all of this, Paul finally gets to this glorious truth. But now, the righteousness of God has been made known apart from the law, although the law and prophets bear witness to it. We read that verse last week just to whet our appetites for what was to come. How God makes sinners righteous. So the first thing that we're going to look at in verses 21 through 24 is the justification of sinners. The justification of sinners. How God makes sinners righteous. Let's read on from verse 21. Verse 22, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Chapter 3, verses 21 through 24 deal with this idea of the justification of sinners, how God makes sinners righteous. Really two things that we see in this section, right? The first thing that we see is that righteousness is found through faith in Jesus Christ. Righteousness is found through faith in Jesus Christ. This is important because we've already established that righteousness can't be found anywhere else. Righteousness can't be found in ourselves. Righteousness can't be found in anyone else. No one else can make us righteous. Only one place to find righteousness that's available to us, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. But now the righteousness of God has been made known. That's what manifest means. Apart from the law, because the law can't do it, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God that comes through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. Why isn't there any distinction? Why is it only found in Jesus Christ? We're reminded again, keep in mind that Romans 3:23, a verse that probably all of us have memorized at some point in our life, right? How many have memorized Romans 3:23 before? Okay, most of us here know Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23 is just a brief summary of Romans 1:18 through 3:20, right? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So the only place to find righteousness, because there's no distinction, all have sinned, is to find it through faith in Jesus Christ. We can't do anything to make ourselves right with God. The only way to be made right with God is to put our trust in Jesus Christ. So that's where righteousness is found. Why do we put our faith in Jesus Christ? Well, Paul goes on to tell us, right, that righteousness... Oops, sorry, that went ballistic on me there. All right. Righteousness is received through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Righteousness is received through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Why is Christ the object of our faith? Why is it that Christ can provide righteousness to sinners? Paul mentions the word redemption, the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. And this is starting to get down into the nitty-gritty of the theology of how God saves sinners. We're saved through faith in Jesus Christ. This is where we find righteousness. We find it in Jesus. We put our trust in Jesus. Why do we put our trust in Jesus? Jesus is our Redeemer. He's our Redeemer. What does this mean? This means that Jesus is the one who paid the price to make us right with God. Redeemed is a word which means bought from slavery and set free. This is what Jesus did when He gave His life on the cross. So what God is saying here is that sinners cannot make themselves righteous, but that Jesus can. How does He do this? Jesus, as God's perfect Son, has righteousness to offer. He has the perfect righteousness that we need. What is it that we need in order to see God? Scripture says that without righteousness, no one will see God. So we need righteousness in order to see God, in order to have a relationship with God, in order to live with God forever in His presence. We need righteousness. We don't have it. But Jesus does. He has what it takes. He has the resources that we need. And so in offering his life, Jesus paid the price that we owed to God. We owe God righteousness we don't have, but Jesus offered that righteousness to God. On the other side of the coin, there was a payment that was owed to us. Right? There was a we owed God a payment of righteousness which we don't have, and because we didn't have it, God owed something to us. The wages of sin is death. What we were supposed to be paid because of our sin was death. And Jesus gave us his righteousness and he received our death. That's what redemption means. We owed God righteousness we didn't have. We deserved death in exchange. And Jesus received the death that we deserved. That's why we put our faith in Jesus Christ. This is how sinners can be made right, by faith in Jesus Christ. So faith in Jesus Christ is a transaction. This is how it happens. A person admits to God, God, I have nothing. Just as I am, right? Without one plea. I got nothing. I'm just a sinner. And I don't have anything. But I know Jesus has what I need. And I know Jesus offers it to me if I will simply believe that his death and his resurrection were sufficient to pay the debt that I owe to God. And we ask Jesus to credit his righteousness to our account too. And how great is Jesus' righteousness? Infinitely great. Because no matter how many people say, Jesus, I want you to pay my debt, he can pay it. We don't know of these. We've heard of great resources, right? We've heard of people who have billions of dollars, right? That's a lot of money. Some of us owe money, right? Probably most of us owe somebody something. And, you know, if we went to Bill Gates and said, Bill Gates, you've got billions of dollars. Could you pay my debt? He could. He could pay mine. He might even be able to pay everybody's in this room. But could Bill Gates pay everybody's debt in the whole world? Just of people who are living now? No, eventually his money would run out. Billions of dollars, yeah, it goes a long way, but it doesn't go that far. But you see, the thing about Jesus' resources is that if everybody decided today in the world, 6 billion people said, pay my debt to God, it would be sufficient. And not only for the people who are alive today, but for the people who were alive 100 years ago and 200 years ago and 1,000 years ago and 3,000 years ago. Resources infinitely sufficient for the need. So this is how sinners are justified. Righteousness is found through faith in Jesus Christ. We put our trust in Jesus because he is our righteous redeemer. The redemption that comes through him. He paid the debt that we owed to God. He received the payment that God owed to us. And so God can count us now as righteous when we put our trust in Jesus Christ. That's amazing. Isn't that amazing? God can make me righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. That's how sinners are justified. But a question is going to come up. What about God? Paul deals with the justification of God in verses 25 to 26. You may say, wait a minute, what do you mean the justification of God? Does God need to be made righteous? And of course the answer is, no, he doesn't need to be made righteous. What do I mean by the justification of God? Any ideas?
What God does to justify us.
Okay. We just saw what God does to justify us. What we need to know is God just in doing that? Because some people think that what God does is that God just kind of sweeps our sin under the rug and just kind of says, you know what, yeah, you guys are all messed up, but you know what, I'm just a big, loving, teddy bear God who, you know, yeah, everybody, nobody's perfect, I'll just let you into heaven. Does God do that? Can God do that? Why can't God do that? Because he's just. And so some people are going to say, wait a minute, if God declares sinners righteous, how can God be good? How can he do that? He can't just tell sinners, it's okay, you're righteous now, come on into heaven. So we need to make sure that we understand that God is righteous when he declares sinners who are unrighteous righteous. How can God be righteous and yet make sinners righteous? This is the justification of God. How can God do this? Can God be righteous and declare sinners righteous? And the answer is yes. How? Look at verse 25 and 26. We're justified, verse 24, by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. This is a very deep argument that Paul is making here. How can God be righteous to declare sinners righteous? How can God be righteous when for a long time God has passed over sin? What does that mean? Well, it means that God doesn't give sinners instantaneous justice, does he? He didn't in the Old Testament. He still doesn't do it today, right? If God dealt out instantaneous justice, who would be alive here? None of us would, right? So God doesn't do this. How can God be just and not deal out instantaneous judgment? God knew the day would come when he would deal with all sin. And this day came when Jesus Christ came into the world and then went to the cross and died for the sins of the world. In the cross, we have the justification of God. Not only the justification of us, we have the justification of God. God is righteous in saving sinners because of the cross. God is just because he still punishes sin. God is just because he still punishes sin. This comes out in verse 25. What in verse 25 shows us that God still punishes sin? Do you know? Read verse 25. Tell me if you know what in verse 25 tells us that God still punishes sin. Okay, the word propitiation tells us that God still judges sin. Anybody know what the word propitiation means? That's satisfaction, right? Very simple. It's satisfaction. Imagine, just for a minute, you have like a really fancy car. Okay? For some of you, I don't know what it would be. You know, like just picture your dream car or whatever. If you're a person who's not into cars, picture your dream something else. Okay? For me, it might be like a fully restored 68 Camaro, you know, really just nice paint job, 327, you know, just really nice 68 Camaro. For some, it might be a Lamborghini or whatever, I don't know. But just super nice car. Imagine that somebody steals it, takes it for a joyride, and totals it. And they come back to you and say, I'm really sorry, I stole your car, and I told them that it's gone. But I've got this 74 Pinto. I could give you to replace it. Would you be satisfied? Right? No, you wouldn't be satisfied. I had a 68 Camaro, and you're offering me a 74 Pinto. No, it doesn't work, okay? I'm not satisfied. But if they came back and they said, you know what, I have the resources to replace this automobile with one exactly like it. Would you be satisfied? Yeah. Be satisfied. Maybe even one even better. Yeah, you'd be satisfied. That's what the word propitiation means. It means Jesus Christ satisfied the wrath of God. And this is what's so hard for us to put our minds around. Is that God unleashed on Jesus the full measure of his wrath against sin. He didn't hold 1 ounce of it back. What is the full measure of God's wrath? The full measure of God's wrath is that every single sinner suffers for an eternity in hell. Every single sinner suffers an eternity in hell. That's what the wages of sin is, eternity in hell separated from God. And yet, what God did was he unleashed on his son all of that in 3 hours on the cross. Imagine that. Jesus Christ had to bear the weight of an eternity in hell for every single person that's ever lived in 3 hours. And he did this to satisfy the wrath of God. Nothing could be held back. Jesus had to bear it all. And so God is just because he still punishes sin. He laid on Jesus the full weight, the full cup of his fury and his wrath against sin. He put on Jesus Christ. So God is just because God doesn't just sweep sin under the rug. He doesn't just say, you know what, I'll let it go unpunished. Because if God did that, he could not be righteous. There is no righteous judge in the world who lets guilty people simply go free. God couldn't be righteous if he just said, you know what, yeah, you guys are all messed up, but it doesn't really matter, I'll let you into heaven. But because God still punishes sin, he's still just. But because he punished Jesus, he can also be our justifier. God is our justifier because Christ is a propitiation. See, this word propitiation has meaning on both sides, right? It shows that God is just because Christ satisfied his wrath, but it also shows that God is our justifier because Christ satisfied the wrath against us. Jesus didn't deserve the wrath. I did. You did. And so God can be our justifier. He can declare us righteous because Jesus was put forward as a propitiation. Jesus took our place. Jesus bore the brunt of God's wrath aimed at me, aimed at you, and he took it. And so this justifies God. God is righteous. in declaring sinners righteous. Sinners who put their trust in Jesus. Only sinners who put their trust in Jesus can go to heaven. Because only through putting their trust in Jesus can God be righteous. Because those sinners have accepted the payment that Christ offered. And so this justifies God. Shows God to be righteous in justifying sinners. So we've seen sinners can be justified. We've seen God is declared or shown to be righteous in the work of salvation because he still punishes sin, and yet he saves sinners. And the third thing that we're going to see this morning is the justification of grace by faith. Some people look at this and say, okay, you're telling me that I can receive God's grace, be declared righteous by faith in Jesus Christ and by faith alone. I don't have to do anything. And most human beings, when they hear something like this, you don't have to do anything, right? Just believe in Jesus, and God declares you righteous, and he makes you an heir, and he makes you a brother of Christ, and he gives you eternal life, and all of this stuff. When we hear this, immediately we think what? What's the catch? This sounds too good to be true. Sounds like one of those infomercials, right? Too good to be true. Your life will never be the same once you get this super duper flex shot. You can fix your boat after you shoot holes in it with cannon, right? And all this stuff. It's awesome. And we're skeptical. And so Paul has to justify, show to be genuine, that salvation is by grace through faith. So he does this in verses 27 to 31. Let's read these verses. And then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since God is one, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. Paul shows that grace by faith is the only way salvation can be rendered. Some people will look at grace by faith and say, well, wait a minute, this means that I don't have to do anything. Yeah, you're right. This means that I can't do anything. Yeah, you're right. Well, this means that people can just pray a prayer and do whatever they want. Well, he's going to deal with that later. That's not what it means, by the way. It's not what it means. But Paul here is just demonstrating that it can only be grace through faith. That's the only way it can be. Well, the person who's tried really hard to be good all this time is going to say, well, what have I been doing all this time? Where's my right to brag about how hard I've been trying to keep God's rules? Paul says justification by faith banishes boasting. Banishes any boasting. Nope, no, there's no way any of us who are in heaven are going to stand up in heaven and say, well, yeah, boy, I knew I'd be here. I knew I'd. I'm just, what a good boy am I, you know? No, there's no hope for boasting. Why? Because none of us did anything to bring this righteousness about our lives. All we did was call out for the lifeguard to save us, and he did. What then becomes of our boasting? It's excluded. There's no reason to boast. By what kind of law? Law of works? No, but by a law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. No one is going to be able to stand in heaven and say, well, I got here because I was just a little bit better than the rest of you. No, It's excluded. And that's the way it has to be. Because now God gets all the glory. And that's the way it has to be. God gets all the glory. Second thing that grace by faith does, it banishes any boasting so that we know that we're not saved by anything that we've done. But grace by faith unifies all believers. It unifies all believers. Notice what Paul said. Is God the God of Jews only? No, he's the God of Gentiles too. This God who is one is going to save the circumcised and the uncircumcised by faith. This unifies all believers. So that we hear expressions like this, the ground is level at the foot of the cross and things like that. And those are helpful, useful expressions, right? Because that's what this implies. The Jew was no closer to God simply by having the law than the Gentile. We're all people who need God's grace, and we receive that grace through faith in what God did to bring about salvation. And so this should be a unifying thing. That as we come together, the scripture describes a scene in heaven where a group of people from every tongue, tribe, language, and nation is gathered around the throne of Jesus Christ and of the Father. And we're all there because of one reason. We're all there because of Jesus. Because Jesus died for us, he rose from the dead, and we put our trust in that. And that's it. And so this is a great unifying factor. All of us were the same in our sinfulness. All of us are the same in our redemption. No one can look and say, well, I was a little bit better than you, so I think that's why I got in. No, there's a unity here, a solidarity that comes through this teaching of grace by faith. And finally, to the person who says, well, grace by faith overthrows the law then. Because didn't God give the law to show us how we had to live in order to get into heaven? And Paul says, actually, grace by faith upholds the law. It actually upholds the law. Let's think about this for a minute. Can you think of ways in which grace by faith upholds the law rather than nullifies the law? How does God giving righteousness to sinners through faith in Jesus Christ actually uphold the law of Moses? Okay, it's only through God, through Jesus Christ, that we now have the power to actually obey the law. That's one way. How else does it uphold the law? Christ fulfilled the law. So, yeah, the law was there as the standard that we couldn't do, but Christ did it. So it upholds the law because that standard had to be met, and it only was met in Jesus Christ. That's another reason. How else does it uphold the law? It pays the penalty required by the law. Remember that passage in Colossians we read, where God took the law that stood against us and he nailed it to the cross, and Jesus paid those demands. So it upholds that. How else does it uphold the law? We're missing one big one, and it's really kind of the point of Romans 1:18 through 3:20. Yeah, it shows that we could never meet the law. Okay, the gospel of grace by faith alone shows that we didn't keep the standard of the law. So it upholds that. The law is not nullified. The law is a huge part of the gospel because the law is the diagnosis of our need for grace through faith. Right? And so all of these things uphold the law. It shows us that we need a Savior because we couldn't meet the demands. It shows us that Christ met those demands of the law. It shows us that Christ paid the penalty that we incurred by not meeting those demands. And by grace through faith, now The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, and now, as Rachel said, we can begin to actually live the moral demands of the law. All right? So grace through faith doesn't nullify the law. It upholds the law. This is exciting news. God declares sinners righteous by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This grace is received as a gift. Can only be received as a gift when we put our trust in Jesus Christ. That God declaring sinners righteous in this way in no way diminishes his righteousness. In fact, it exalts his righteousness because God is just and our justifier. I always like to think of the cross as the place where God's mercy and his justice meet. God's justice and his mercy meet. So when you think of the cross beams, think of justice and you think of mercy. And that's what the cross is all about. And justification by grace through faith, it's the only way. It's the only way. Let's pray. God in heaven, we thank you so much that you can make sinners righteous by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you would help us to live this message, to share this message, to delight in this message, to glory in this message, because this message is all about you. And Lord God, we thank you that you made a way in your love through your Son to make us right with you. I pray that each one here would know that they have a relationship with you through faith in Jesus. And Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing, It Is Well With My Soul, 493.